Shine in our hearts, Lord Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And there couldn't be a better time to do that. I sat much of the day before yesterday staring at the blank page on my computer, not knowing what to say. And the truth is, none of us knows what to say in this moment, not about the pandemic, not about the sudden loss of Clayton, and not about the state of our country. And I'm embarrassed to say that for many of those hours, I thought that I had to come up with something, that I had to deliver the right message, that I was supposed to make a difference. And everything I wrote felt trite and false. I'm embarrassed because I had forgotten that the sermon is not about what I have to say. It is about what God has to say. And that is all that matters. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Jordan River by John the Baptizer. Jesus walks into the Jordan. John holds him in some way, perhaps tilts him backwards under the water. And then according to the Gospels, Jesus comes up out of the water and the heavens open. Or, as we just heard now in Mark, the heavens are torn apart. And God's voice is heard, declaring Jesus as his Son, the Beloved, in whom he is well pleased, as the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. I love it that God is well pleased with Jesus before, at least according to the Gospels, he's actually done anything. And God is well pleased with us too, long before we have done anything. And yet there are expectations. God is not without hope for us. The baptism of Jesus begins a long process of sacrament, suffering, liberation, and love, just like the rhythm of our lives. In all four Gospels, Jesus goes right from the sacrament of baptism in the Jordan River to the suffering in the wilderness for 40 days of hunger and thirst and evil temptations. He is liberated by denying the devil, choosing and remaining faithful to God, filled with the love that is his ministry. And it mirrors the road to the cross. The gospel, sacrament, suffering, liberation, and love. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, is baptized in water by the human John and baptized in the Holy Spirit by God. Our belief in and acceptance of that sacred moment is fundamental to our faith. And it is our first sacrament, where we too come up out of the water and are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. It's holier than I think most of us realize. But baptism only begins the process. We are not done. Baptism is the sacrament, the sacred beginning. There is still suffering, liberation, and love. The rhythm of our lives as followers of Jesus, we struggle, we choose, which sets us free to love as Jesus loves us. After this sermon, we will say together the baptismal covenant. It appears in your bulletin and comes directly from the Book of Common Prayer. It is the covenant that was said for you if you were baptized as a baby. And it is the covenant that we renew on this day every year, at the Easter Vigil, and at all the baptisms we attend. Listen carefully to the words we will say as we renew our baptismal vows. Listen carefully as we testify to what we say we believe. Now, don't let yourself get tripped up with whether or not you believe in the virgin birth or whether Jesus is seated on some kind of chair on the right-hand side of God. Listen instead for the hope and love contained in those ancient words. Listen even harder to the questions we will be asked and the answers we will give. Listen for the suffering, the liberation, and the love. The questions we're asked point us not to the past, but to the future. And our answer, our promise, is that we will keep trying to do better in the name of love, in the name of Jesus. And we can all do better with God's help. It is in the trying, the suffering, and the choosing that God's light shines through us and gives hope to others. Will we persevere in resisting evil, the evil around us and within us? And when we don't resist it or stand up to what we know to be true, will we ask God to forgive us? And will we try again? Will we respect the dignity of every human being, even the ones we don't like, or the ones who do unspeakable things? Will we try to figure out how to love them, how to do them no harm, how to defend their rights as well as our own, how to see them as the children of God we all are? Will we try to do better? I will, with God's help, because I certainly can't do it on my own. I don't know about you, but that comforts me. I don't have to pretend to be perfect, but I do have to look honestly at myself and my choices. And that's where liberation comes in the choosing. Choosing the right and the good and the light and the way of Jesus in the midst of struggle and suffering and conflict, with God's help, sets us free. Choosing love sets us free. No more pretending. Bishop Curry said in his sermon yesterday that the way of love is not some fake sentimental way where we all pretend everything is fine now. The real way of love tells the truth, puts the other and community first. The real way of love is the love Jesus taught us, a love of healing, truth, reconciliation, and respect, not judgment. That's God's job. Love is the only way. It always has been. John the Baptist stands at the edge of the Jordan, in his camel hair tunic and leather belt. And according to Matthew and Luke, he shouts, "You brood of vipers," at the arriving Sadducees and Pharisees, because they lie. They pretend to care for what they do not. Wild man John the Baptist does not lie. He tells the truth. And he stands humbly, preparing the crowd for the love of Christ that is to come. Take in the words we are about to say together. Let the promises we are about to make become real for you. Examine your choices. And let this remembrance of the baptism of our Lord fill us with the light of Christ to go forward, trying our best, no matter the suffering, to liberate our hearts by choosing the way of love. Amen.